God, that that your word, you spoke your word into existence. You said, light be, and light became. And Lord, we thank you that that same word speaks today. It speaks light to our life, that we might see in the darkness, that we might know, praise the Lord, the things that are freely given to us of God. We thank you, Lord, that your word truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we need not be in the dark and stumble around. Hallelujah. Because you have shown forth that which we see and hear, that which we know, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. I want to read a scripture before we jump into what we have here in our outline. But I want to read Romans chapter 5 first. This is one of the most foundational scriptures in the New Testament. Man has always been looking for a place to reach God. If you look at all the religions of the world, if you look at religion, is man's way of reaching God. And there are this religion, that religion, the other religion. The only thing they have in common is they're trying to reach God. And the reason people instinctively know that they must reach God is because we all know that we've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. God's glory is up here, and man's glory has fallen because man has shame and guilt and condemnation as a result of sin. Sin is what causes these things. Some people say it's only man's belief in sin that makes sin real. We have that kind of thinking today. In other words, sin would not exist unless people preach about sin, unless the Bible talked about sin. If there was no Bible, there would be no sin. If there were no preachers, there would be no sin. But that is not true, because it's wonderful to discuss things in philosophy, but it's another thing to live it. All you have to do is live with one other person, and you will find guilt and condemnation and inferiority, and you will find shame. Because we know you can fool yourself, but you cannot fool somebody else, especially if you're married to them. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. That is a truth that will forever be settled in heaven and on earth. And so Romans chapter 5 starts with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Justified is a legal term. It means to be made righteous. And what happens with Scripture, the way we understand the Word of God, God came down to the earth Himself, and Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood so that we might have complete communion with God by invitation of grace by faith. In other words, we cannot reach God. God reached us. Isn't that beautiful? You can't earn anything. God came down and gave it to us. And He gave us something that we could never earn ourselves, and that is the gift of righteousness. This righteousness is a gift of God, and it comes by faith of Jesus Christ. This is something that mankind seeks. If you show me a group, any kind of group, there will be a sense of righteousness in that group. Whatever you must do to be in that group to make you right is the thing that you will try to attain to. What do I mean by that? Gangsters, if you want to be initiated into the gang, you have to do things that make you righteous. And if you refuse to do these things, one of the things that some of the gangs require, I know because you see it on TV, they require that you kill somebody. Sometimes 14, 13-year-old kids are called upon to kill somebody or to steal something or to do something. Very, very heinous. And of course, They would rather answer this call. They would rather do this thing than suffer unrighteousness. They would be looked upon at that group as, you're not a man, you're not tough, you're not this kind of person, you're not that kind of person, you're not the kind of person we're looking for in our group. This is the kind of person we're looking for in our group. There are some religions that would have you pray several times a day as an act of obedience, and if you don't, you are not living up to the righteousness of that group. Are you here? Hallelujah. And so these things that man has invented, I believe these things are religious things and man's way of reaching God. Only Jesus is the one who requires nothing but belief. Hallelujah. The only thing he requires that you do is believe he rose from the dead and confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. Say, Pastor Ed, is that all he wants us to do? That's the beginning point. Because what he does from there is he changes us on the inside. And things begin to happen on the inside that are not lighting candles, that are not bowing down, that are not doing these things that make us appear to be holy. And when we do acts of holiness that for people to see, the Lord calls us hypocrites because we're doing these things to be seen of people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We do our righteousness to be seen by other people. And Jesus says, when you do that, you have your reward. Your reward is other people saying, oh, very good. That's very holy. That's very beautiful. You fasted for 35 days. Very good. Oh, beautiful. You did that for yourself so you could have the praise of men. But where are the people that praise God that God is doing something on the inside of them every day of their life? Something is happening on the inside of them greater than the day before, greater than the week before, greater than the year before. Somebody said, I'm going through the valley. Well, praise God, I'm here to take you out of the valley. Because there's no valleys in Christ. There really is. There is life in Christ. You say, sometimes we go through harder things. Yes, we do. But that doesn't mean we're going through a valley in terms of we are away from God. If we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he is with us. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, I guarantee you, it's to help somebody get out of there, not you. Amen. Why? Why can you say that? Okay, real quickly, go with me. Let's look at Psalm 23 together, real quickly. This is every day for your life. Every day for your life. This is not some days. This is not on Tuesdays. This is not on Sundays. This is every day. Psalm 23. Everybody say Psalm 23. This is probably the most well-known psalm in the Bible. And if you've been a Christian for a little while, you've heard of it. Praise the Lord. The Lord is, say it out loud,
Lord is.
My shepherd. I shall not want. Better way to say it is I do not want. If you look at it in the Hebrew. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Except when bad things really, really happen, Pastor Ed, because they do. So don't get too happy here and don't get too positive because life's a bummer sometimes. Is that what yours says? Is that the next chapter? No. You can't add to the Bible, can you? So what is he saying? Even in our darkest hour, even when it seems the worst, the Lord's still our shepherd. We still don't have to lack. He can still make you lie down in green pastures. Why? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. In fact, he's not with you. He's in you. Amen. So the Lord is in us. Now go to Romans 5:17. Let's see if Romans 5:17 and Psalm 23 agree with each other. Because If you look at this, we've said this before, Psalm 22 is a psalm of prophecy, Jesus on the cross. Psalm 23 is a psalm of prophecy with his ministry as shepherd. It's his present day ministry right now, Psalm 23. Psalm 24 is when the Lord sets up his kingdom upon the earth. It's a prophetic psalm of him ruling and reigning on this earth. There are things that apply to every time and whatever, but the overall picture is Psalm 22, he says, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" That's what he said when he was on the cross, didn't he? "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, he's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. He came to the earth. It should make a difference if Jesus is your shepherd as opposed to Jesus not being your shepherd. If Jesus is not your shepherd, who is? The sports channel, the whatever channel, something is your shepherd. But thank God Jesus is our shepherd, right? And then Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Praise the Lord. He's going to rule and reign in righteousness upon the earth. But look at Romans 5:17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one." Well, we can all see that. One man's offense, death reign. How many of you have ever seen death reign? Did you ever see death reign in your family? Did you ever see death reign in your life? All right? He says, "If death reigned by one," speaking of the sin of Adam, "much more they which receive," now we're talking about receiving something, "they which receive" what? "Abundance of grace," and not just grace. A lot of people can tell you about, "Oh, the grace of God, he saved me. Oh, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be lost. Oh, he saved me." And that's beautiful, isn't it? That's a beautiful thing. But what about the gift of righteousness? You see, a lot of people have a conviction that they're saved, but they live life in these areas. A lot of shame, guilt, condemnation. That's a horrible thing, to have Jesus as your shepherd and have shame in your life. To have Jesus as your shepherd and have guilt in your life. To have Jesus as your shepherd and have condemnation in your life. That's not living up to the effects of that atonement. That sacrifice was so powerful. He said, "As many as receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they shall" what? Come on, 1, 2, 3. Reign. Reign is a governmental word, if you will, if we want to hook it up with what we learned this morning. Reign, like a king reigns over a kingdom. You gotta be the king of the kingdom. Now, Jesus is the big king. You're the little king. And he says, "Come over here. We're going to rule this together." Hallelujah. And so, "As many as receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ." So reigning is very important. Life should not reign over you. Sin should not reign over us. We read Romans 6. He said, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Who's the policeman of su cuerpo? Usted. Yeah, you are. I'm the policía de mi cuerpo. I'm the police of my body. We have to be under God's care, under God's authority, so we can police properly. We don't police and beat ourselves up. We don't police other people and beat them up. It's easy to be a cop with no grace. So why are we saying all this? Because there's something that God wants out of his church, I believe. And I wanted you to see this, though. that our position with God is one of righteousness. We are in right standing. Right standing with God. We can sit with Christ in heavenly places, in Christ, in God. We can be with the Father, and the Father's not mad at you. The Bible said He's not counting your trespasses against you. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I don't know about you, but that lifts my spirit. It makes me want to soar like an eagle. Glory to God. It says that they that wait upon the Lord shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, of course, you're with Him. He's blessing you. He's lifting you up. Instead of us hiding like Adam, hiding from God. Lord, I have guilt. I have shame. I have condemnation. The Lord paid for all that. Now, go with me, if you would please, to Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. Numbers 23, 21. This was something Pastor KK was preaching on, and so I wanted to just, not going to take very long. Hallelujah. And this is a tremendous blessing. He was here this morning in this portion of Scripture a little bit. But Numbers, talking about Balaam. Remember, we were talking about Balaam had a donkey. And old MacDonald, he had a farm. Well, Balaam, he had a donkey. And this donkey, he would ride as a mode of transportation. And so you know the story. We read it this morning. That the donkey saw something that the prophet could not see. How terrible is that? The donkey had more discernment than the prophet. The prophet was going to a place where he was going to get paid, hopefully. And the donkey was righteous. He was not going someplace to get paid. He's just doing what donkeys do. But his eyes were opened up and he saw a mighty angel with a sword. And he did not want to die. And so Balaam hit his donkey. Not once, not twice, but three times. And he goes to hit the donkey the third time, and the angel stops him. God opens up Balaam's eyes. Isn't that right? Well, let's just pick it up here where he's talking about it in chapter 23. I don't want to focus on the donkey because that's what Pastor KK talked about. In verse 7, he took up a parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. He's saying, come and curse Israel. How shall I curse, verse 8, whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom God hath not defied? Now listen to me. Are you cursed? Si or no? Por qué? Why? Galatians 3 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Somebody said, well, I must be cursed. No. If you're a Christian, there is no generational curse. There's no curse from grandma's, you know, whatever in her attic that's going to come and put an ooga booga curse on you. You're blessed in Christ. You are blessed in Christ. This is a very hard concept for people to grasp. Because we all sort of lean towards guilt and condemnation anyway. And a curse is an easy way out. I must be cursed. I remember before I got saved, I had a lot of superstition. I didn't really think about it, but I had to make the last basket when I played basketball. I had to. I couldn't leave. I had to do certain things a certain way. You don't walk on a line in baseball. You just don't do that. Baseball players are the most superstitious people on earth. If you really get to understand baseball, they are really funny people. We went out to have a little bite to eat this afternoon, and the Giants game was on television, and I guess Kane had a no-hitter going in the sixth inning. There was a ground ball to shortstop. I mean, it was not hit hard.
And he threw the ball too late, and the guy got a base hit out of it. He didn't make an error or anything. It's just got a base hit. And this guy said, You jinxed Cain. What's his first name? Matt Cain. You jinxed him. And I thought to myself, isn't that stupid how we think of stuff like that? That I could say one thing and he can't do what he's supposed to do because I jinxed him. But I certainly can't help him by saying he will now strike this guy out. What can I do for him besides curse him? Nothing. And this, we don't even think about it sometimes. You cursed him. Don't anybody, don't say he's got a no-hitter. Because as soon as you say it, he won't get it. Well, that's so stupid. Thinking that a game will rise and fall on whether you step on a line or not. But why does that happen? Because Satan puts it into our hearts that life is mysterious like that. But you know what? After I learned that, I like to go mess up lines. I threw the ball against the backboard and said, I don't care about making this stupid last basket anymore. Where's a black cat on Friday and I'll walk under a ladder? I don't care. I'll break a mirror. How many? All these superstitious things. Just do it just to break the power of it. If there's anything in your life that you feel like, oh, if I do that, it's bad luck. There ain't no such thing as luck, except if you mean living under Christ's kingdom. Living under Christ's kingdom, L-U-C-K. That's the luck you have in your life. There's no such thing as luck anymore. It's faith. Faith takes the place of luck. Amen. Now notice what he says here in Numbers 23. And where am I? Verse 7? Let's skip down and let's go to verse 19. He's trying to get him to curse Israel. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received a commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You see, you are blessed in Christ. You have received the blessing of Abraham. He said you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28 sometime. It has not passed away. You'll be blessed. In fact, can we throw it up there real quickly? This is so awesome. Yeah, but I face a lot of trouble. Well, who cares? This is what's true. This is true for us. In Deuteronomy 28, there's the blessing and the curse. Everything that is in the curse, you don't have to have in your life. He said, it shall come to pass, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God to observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses, oh, we're starting with the curse? All these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now he goes on and lists so many curses. But all of those Jesus took away. Look at verse 1. It shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, deserve all your commands. The Lord God set thee on high. He will set thee on. And all these blessings shall, come on, say it out loud. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you if you shall listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Now watch this. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. So it doesn't matter whether you live in the city or whether you live in the field. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, your children. Blessed shall be in the fruit of your ground. Hallelujah. The fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. If you have a business, he says God's going to bless your business. All right? You shall be blessed in your basket, in your store. That's your cupboards. Hallelujah. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Doesn't matter whether you come in or go out. You're just blessed. All right? The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in your storehouses, and all that you set your hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself. Say it out loud. I'm a holy person. We are a holy people. You have to say that about yourself. Because God says it, you see. And he has sworn unto thee, if you'll keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Amen. Now, we can go on and on, but the fact is, that's the blessing and that's what we have. That's who we are. This is what we should say about ourselves. This is what we should say about our life. This is what we say about the things that we have and the things that we do. God gives us something to say about. Now, in this scripture here in Numbers, he says, I can't reverse it. Well, someone, my neighbor, they know witchcraft, and they're trying to cast a spell on me. Well, they can try all they want. That has no power over you. Yeah, but they stayed up all night and did it. I don't care if they devoted the rest of their life to your destruction. They're only destroying themselves. You got to pray forgiveness over them. So he said, I cannot reverse it. Verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now, how many of you know Jacob had some sin? Jacob had some big sin. But why did God not look upon the sin of Jacob? Because he's a covenant man. Because he's living under the blessing. Neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Israel had perverseness. But you see, they're covenant people. They're living in the covenant of God. And God was not treating them this way. You see, when you're righteous, God looks past your sin. Has your daughter ever done wrong? Many times? Not too bad. She's a good girl. Yeah. I'm not trying to make her bad. But even my kids at their best were sometimes bad. But I never looked at them and go, what a wicked child. I can't. Dear God, what's wrong with this kid? No, I said, it's my little baby. It's beautiful. He said, yeah, but you don't remember. No, I don't. I don't think about that. I think about what a gift they are. You see, the Father looks at us that way. If our heart is right with him, amen. If our heart is after God, if our heart is saying, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for that gift of righteousness. I just want to do the things that are pleasing to you. Then God looks past all the sin. He doesn't even think about it. You could find scripture, he says he doesn't even remember it anymore. You're the only one that remembers it, you and the devil. And the devil wants to make sure that you remember it. Well, you just remind him of the blood of Jesus. So, he says he did not behold iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord God is with him. Say it out loud. The Lord God is with me. And the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? God has done a great thing in this people. Now, where did God do his greatest accomplishment? When he raised Jesus from the dead. That is God's highest accomplishment, if you will, on the face of this earth. So much so that the Bible says that we should have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we might know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory, the riches of his inheritance, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Resurrection power is the most powerful authority on this earth. And if you say, what God has wrought, praise the Lord. What hath God wrought? Look what he did. And I want to tell you, when you say, look at the resurrection, people have to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what he's done. Look what he's done. Look, he took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan. and he hath given us the victory. What God hath wrought in Christ is greater than anything God wrought in Israel or Jacob. In fact, Israel and Jacob were waiting for the day when Messiah come to the earth and wrought that thing in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's powerful. Did you get that? So if God could say back in that day, the people shall say, what God hath wrought, then we ought to be able to say in our day, what God hath wrought in Christ. Oh, glory to God. Man, that's powerful. Then he says this, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion. Well, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Guess what he's saying? He's saying God's people are going to rise up. Hallelujah. The shout of the king is among them. The shout of the king is among them. Well, you know what? That shout gets into the church that sees the resurrection of Christ. I want you to go to one more scripture and we'll close up. You can read more about this in the outline. I did a whole lesson on it, but we don't have time to go through the whole thing. But I want you to read something in Acts, the 4th chapter. I want you to see something here, that the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be bold as a lion. Proverbs 18:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And he says his people are going to rise up like a lion. Praise God. That's powerful. The roar of God is to be in his people. Acts chapter 4, tremendous persecution came upon the church. They said, don't preach anymore in that name. Don't do anything in that name. We forbid you in the name of our government, in the name of our authority. Don't do that stuff anymore, healing people and doing all that stuff. So the Bible says when they heard this, there was a miracle done in this man who had been sick for many years. Acts 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And they punished them, and they told them that they're not to do any more of this healing in the name of Jesus. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you hath anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, gathered together, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before what to do. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Well, let me tell you something. If people are threatening you and you know what to do with that, what about if demon spirits are threatening you and spirits of condemnation, spirits of guilt and inferiority and all these types of things? Lord, behold their threatenings. Now watch this. He says, and grant to your servants. Grant to your servants that with all boldness we may what? Speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. Now what did they do? They lifted up their voice. This wasn't a mealy mouth, oh, sit in the corner kind of church. These people, they got up and they spoke the word of God boldly. And the Bible says when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness is a quality of God. Brashness is a quality of the world. God wants his church bold. What does it mean to be bold? It means to believe what God said, period. You're just saying what God said with the same tonality, with the shout of a king, glory to God. Do you have a shout inside of you? Do you ever have a shout on the inside? Or do we just shout at telemarketers? People at the DMV. Unfair practices of government. Well, I'll tell you what. Get that same person in church. They go, I'm just not very loud. Oh, yeah, right.
I wish we could take a film of you wherever you go and play it back. You sweet thing, you. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, I'm just a quiet kind of person. Yeah, you chewed out the neighbor once too. Hallelujah. We've all got a shout. I don't care. The quietest person in the world has a shout. And the shout of the King is among them. And that shout was in the early church. It needs to be in every church. Hallelujah. It needs to be in you. And because God has put something inside of us that is as bold as He is. The Bible said He will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" I always tell people, when's the last time you said that? When's the last time you boldly said, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Let's close up with that scripture. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Man, it's amazing the shout that needs to be in the church. Because why? Our God is a God of shouting. He's a God of greatness. He's a God of declaration. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's just part of what we have. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are you getting it yet? How come you're not helping me? So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hallelujah. Let's take the communion elements right now. Praise the Lord. It's a good time to take communion in Christ. Hallelujah. You see, the whole reason for Christianity is that the life of Christ gets inside of us. And the life of Christ is a life that is like Christ. Amen? If Jesus was bold, then I need to be bold. Sometimes Jesus was quiet. Sometimes I need to be quiet. Sometimes Jesus prayed, I need to pray. Sometimes Jesus just walked his way. Spoke to a tree. Spoke to things. Sometimes I need to speak to things. There's a lot of different qualities of Christ. But one of them for certain is there is a shout of the King in our midst. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful sacrifice. We thank you for this beautiful altar that we get to run to. Lord, I thank you that you've taken away our sin. You've taken away our guilt. You've taken away all shame and all inferiority. And Lord, you've left us as a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. The old is passed away. The new has come. And Lord, you've made it so easy for us to run to you in times of need, but also to run to you to have fellowship. And Lord, we are so thankful that we can say, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah. That you truly are our Father, which is in heaven. That we are your children. We're not orphans. We're not abandoned. We're not forsaken. Glory to God. And Lord, we thank you that there's no divination, sorcery, or any kind of witchcraft that can succeed against us. There's no power of darkness that can win, because we are in Christ, where the blessing is. Say it out loud. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am in Christ. I'm not lost. I am found. I am saved. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God, a new creature. Thank you, Lord. Take it by faith. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go ahead and partake of the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for every family here, for every person in this room. Lord, as we partake of your table, we recognize that Jesus gave everything. He kept back nothing. He didn't leave anything out. His love is so strong for the whole world. Father, we thank you for putting that love inside of us. We thank you for the outreach in this church. Thank you for reaching people over the internet, reaching people with backpacks, reaching people with our daily lives, on our jobs. As we go about our way, when we go shopping, Lord, our life can be a light to win people to Christ. We thank you so much, Lord. You had mercy on us. You forgave us. Somebody told us about Jesus. And Lord, we're forever grateful. And so, Lord, we say, use us. We want to be that donkey that Jesus rode on. We want to be a useful child of God. And I thank you for the ministry that each person has here. And we give you praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now one last thing, just before we collect everything. I just want you to lay your hand on your own body. Just say it out loud. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any sickness, any symptoms of the curse. I command the blessing of God upon my body, upon my family, upon my household. I am blessed in Christ. I am not cursed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then one last thing, let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessing our brother Greg, because Greg is in Scotland. And we all want to be with him, I know, but... Lord, we just thank you for just surrounding him with your hope, your faith, your love. And Lord, we're just very, very thankful for Greg and Vicky. And we're just so thankful, Father, that you just caused him to have a great time. Not too great a time because he's not with his wife. He would have the better time with his wife. But Lord, just refresh his heart, refresh his soul. And see him back here safely in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's offering time. And so we'll go ahead and I'll tell you what. Why don't you collect these and let Ron take up the offering. And I'll take an envelope, brother. And that would be a good thing. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the generosity of your people. Lord, we know that as we bring our tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in your house, that we can prove you now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If you will open the windows, if you will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there not should be room enough to contain it. We thank you, Lord God, that we shall walk in absolute open heaven. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we give you praise for it and thanks for it in the mighty name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Give as the Lord instructs.
Turned into wine, eyes of the light, it's not like you, it's not like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, it's not like you. God is greater, our God is stronger, our God, you are higher than any other. Our God is the awesome power, our God, our God. God, you are. Water you turned into wine. Eyes of the light. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. 'Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God, you are healer. Power, our God, He's greater. Our God is greater. God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Our God is. Is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? If our God is something, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, what could stand against? And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, who could stand against? What could stand? God is stronger, God, you higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome power, our God, sing it again. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome power, our God. Our God is healer, awesome power, our God. Yes, our God is healer, awesome power, our God. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is either awesome and powerful.